When you invest in your very own homestead, there's probably no better feeling. So in a storm the magnitude of Hurricane Harvey comes around, there's not much else to do but leave and hope for the best. Such is the case of Pete Chamberlain, a Rockport resident, among many, whose home was devastated by Harvey.
Like many people, we didn't think it was going to be a very bad storm, so we waited until the last minute and then realized, oh, we better get out of here. So we hopped in my motorhome and drove up to Dallas and stayed with my son. But the next day, we were getting reports back in that our house had been severely damaged and destroyed, basically. And then we got to see some Google Earth pictures of it and realized that, the four-car garage was gone and the house, which is a relatively small house, on the water was a good part of the roof was gone and everything inside was wet and damaged. So we are going to rebuild, and we are rebuilding right now.
And while Pete is optimistic about the rebuilding, there's also the issue with having to deal with the various entities in the aftermath and negotiating with them.
So we couldn't get back into town for about three and a half, four days. So I came down by myself in the motorhome, and it took me about 4 days to be able to get down the street that I lived on because of all the poles and everything. So that's pretty much what it is. It was what a shock. And so I've been living, since then I've been living with my daughter, spent some time in the motorhome, but of course there was no electricity, no gasoline, no water. So that's about it. So it's been quite a probably the most stressful year my wife and I have ever spent. And we're still in negotiation with TWIA while we're going ahead and rebuild and continue in negotiations with them.
Pete isn't the first to share his frustrations with having to deal with groups that are sent out to help people. There's the sense of, what now, after dealing with either insurance and governmental groups?
They just go on and on. Everybody's very polite. Everybody's very nice. And then nothing happens, you know. Or you expect to get this much, the first time I was offered a check, it was, for about 25% of what the insured value of the house was. And then I don't really want to just do that. Everybody's got their own story. And then you go back and you renegotiate. And if you win, then you get a new casework and you start over again. But in any case, there were a lot of good things that happened. Let me dwell on that a little bit. Everybody came together. I can't believe how many good things happened. During the last year, we've seen the best of people and the worst of people.
Along the way, there was a sorting of things that make up a person's life in all the debris. It's never an easy thing. And Pete was taken aback by the process.
We're trying to clean out my house before what's left of it's demolished. And there's stuff. Well, one thing that happened, all the stuff in my small attic, which got destroyed, was blown all over everywhere. Well, somebody called me on Facebook and said, somebody's advertising that they've got important military papers for some Air Force guy, and it's your name, and they're trying to find out if you're alive and where they should send them. And it was about 2 miles away. Another thing is I had my 6 grown grandchildren down to help me clean up stuff, and I had a lot of stuff in the attic. I've been up there 20, 30 years. And my grandson says, "Granddad, what's this? It's got your name on the back of it." And it was a distinguished flying cross that they found in the lawn. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn. I'm just saying my kids never knew any of that stuff existed. So it was quite moving. I'm sitting in, they decided I had about 15, 18 really great people come over from Texas A&M Kingsville and with their kids and their tools and everything else and helped me for 24 hours and worked their tails off and brought food. And we didn't have any hot food and stuff like that. They decided the best thing I could do was sit on the cement and tell them what to do with things as they brought them out of the house or brought them out of the lawn. And I say, that goes to the thrift store, that goes to the junk pile, that goes to save, and that goes to the giant wall of debris up and down both sides. then they would start bringing me stuff, and I got little kids helping. They're bringing things and saying, what do you want to do with this, Mr. Pete? And they finally brought some things that I hadn't seen, pictures of relatives that are gone now. And so the big, tough Air Force veteran started bawling, and I got little kids around me patting me on the back and saying, it'll be okay, it'll be okay.
And every once in a while, there's some silver lining among the clouds, and a phone call sets some positive action into motion. Pete explains.
I got a phone call. I said, Pete, you need to get down here, and they're giving money to you. Your name's on the list. And I said, no, I didn't put it in for anything. I'm well insured. I'm going to be okay. And they said, no. The Buddhists who are down here working with a Buddhist temple in Houston are down here, and they have a check for a lot of people in Rockport. And I said, well, I didn't put in for that. You're kidding me, right? And it's Buddhists who are headquartered in Ho Chi Minh City, okay, with one of the biggest Buddhist, charities in the world. I didn't know nothing about it, never heard of it before. So I go down, and I was familiar with Vietnam, and I go down there, and there's all these beautiful Vietnamese ladies in their beautiful gowns and monks in their robes, and they call out your name, and you go down, and they give you a check all the way from Vietnam or from the Buddhist communities in Asia, and I was so touched, I couldn't believe it.
And here it is, a year later, and Pete will get his house back.
I have been living, I always want a kid, you've heard of millennials, you know, the children that live with their parents until they're in their mid-30s. Mm-hmm. I've got a new name for it, it's a centennial. It's just old people that are in their 70s, close to 80, and they're living with our children. So I've been living with my daughter and her family for a year. And it's been wonderful, and she couldn't have been nicer. I'm okay. So I didn't use any government funds for the last year or anything like that. I just wish the insurance company would pay me what they said they were going to pay me.
He looks back on the year spent with his daughter's family and the effects it's had on him, something that we're sure are sentiments shared by many in the same situation.
So my life is okay, and it's starting to get better. I feel much, much better. I've turned the insurance negotiations over to a professional. Yeah. Like to get pay what they owe me. And I'm looking forward to my new house, and hopefully by Christmas we'll be back to normal. So that's going okay there. I would like to get back into my house. You know, it's funny, waiting a year, you know, a year is a year, but if you're 78 like I am, it's one, and I'm in good health. I don't know how many more good years I have, so it really is doubly annoying if you waste a year waiting.
We'd like to thank Pete Chamberlain for sharing his story, his insights, and hopes as he gets closer to getting his home rebuilt and ready, hopefully by the holiday season. Tomorrow, we visit with officials on opposite sides of the coin when it comes to administering help to people in need after a catastrophic event like Hurricane Harvey. You've been listening to Harvey, a retrospective on KEDT-FM.